A good practice plan is not one that's neat and tidy, or one that includes a lot of good drills, or is not one that you thought a lot about necessarily. A good practice plan addresses the things that your team needs right now. It does require thought, but it requires the right thought. The thought about what does my team need right now, and I don't want to distract them with too many things.
Welcome to The Hours. This is a podcast for coaches at all levels who want to think, teach, and lead better. I'm Mark Cascio, joined by Tyler Costin, and we call this The Hours because this is where we get to deep dive and have real conversations and spend real time on the things that actually matter. You can get the show notes and tools from today's episode in our weekly newsletter, so check out the link below. Let's get into this week's episode.
Welcome to this episode of The Hours. Today, Mark and I are going to make your practices better by the process of elimination. Mark is coming into this game. I love games. Big game player, Catan, Dungeons and Dragons, poker, you name it, I'll play it. Shoot, I'll even sit down with you and play Monopoly if you want. You'll quit before I do. Here's the game, Mark. I'm going to tell you three things that you cannot work on in practice. And you tell me the next thing that you choose to work on. I'm going to attempt to eliminate the things that most of our coaches listening to probably would start working on in practice. So this is going to be a process of prioritization. And then we'll get into how you can work on this thing. Because I think if we can apply our practice planning to a specific subject matter, it's going to be a lot more actionable for everybody. All right. So in your practice, Mark, you cannot work on your offensive system. Nothing offense. Second thing you cannot work on is rebounding. Zero focus on rebounding. The last thing that you cannot work on in your practice is layups. You cannot work on finishing in any way. No offensive system, no rebounding, and no finishing. What do you select as the most important next thing that your team needs to work on in practice?
Okay, let me ask a clarifying question.
Those are important.
Offense, is dominoes considered offense?
Yes.
Okay.
I knocked out like most of practice right there.
I know. I love working dominoes. Nothing gets me more excited.
And just listening, we've gotten this feedback a lot, like defining terms. So dominoes is playing with advantage. So think of drive, kick, swing. Once you break down the defense and drive and kick it out and swing it, you're now in dominoes or playing with advantage. And so you don't get to work on that.
Okay. And so you're saying if I can't work on offense, I can't work on rebound, I can't work on finishing, what would I work on in practice?
Yeah. What do you care about?
Shooting. We shoot every practice for at least 30 minutes a day. I wanted to get all of my players 200 shots a day in practice, 200 attempts. And the way I did that is, as we shot in practice, I would just keep track of like, all right, when we do this drill, Tyler usually gets 30 to 35 shots. I would make a note of that. And then in my drill book, I had that. So I could, as I was building the practice, I could see if we did these four or five things, we're getting about 200 shots. I'll work on my press. So I indirectly work on attacking the press. So I want to be disruptive because you said I could, you didn't say defense in there. And then I would, what comes to mind to me would be just work on like effort, playing hard. And that would give me some rebounding, but also just like start with the standard of like, there's some games in my mind, like games like three and out, or just three and out would be a game where defense has to get three stops in a row. That is a common thing that people measure in games, is some people call them kills or turkeys, where you get three stops in a row. So I would, I would just design some games where we got to play really, really hard, play to a standard. So it'd be playing hard, disruptive, whether that's in the full court or half court defensively, and shooting.
I love it. So now let's apply our four quarter practice planning to this. So the intent of a four quarter practice plan is not to be overly rigid, but to make sure that you can lock in and simplify and not work on too many things, to try to make your practice as much like a game as possible, to ensure that you aren't doing too many things that are just drill based, that don't have competitiveness and pressure. And lastly, to try to establish a through line through your practice where you hit these concepts, which we've identified as shooting, pressure, and what was the other one?
Just effort, just playing hard, playing hard. To a standard.
Cool. Shooting, pressure, and playing hard. Trying to make sure that we focus on those things, hit those objectives in many different ways.
Yeah, let me make an edit. Playing hard, playing to a standard, I'm just going to say toughness.
Yeah.
Which, like, I want to be a tougher team when we leave practice today.
Cool. So let's go ahead and design practice right now. The four-quarter practice basically has these elements: pre-practice, prime, games. Pre-practice is we want to establish the habit of players coming into the gym, field, whatever, and getting right to work without waiting for a coach to start them. Pre-practice is supposed to focus more on individual player development and how it fits into the system. Prime, we prime people to apply new learning skills or emphasis throughout the rest of practice. So this is where your teaching comes in. We want to really utilize recency bias by priming them. If we want to defend a screen in a certain way, then we're going to do things in prime that remind or teach players how we want to defend a screen. So that then when we go and defend a screen in the first quarter of our practice, they are primed to utilize that skill or that coverage. After we go from our prime, you can prime any amount of things for any amount of time that you want. But the goal is that the prime would not be bigger than the game. And the four quarters is when we shift to games. And each quarter just allows us to reset and keep shorter scores for a very direct objective so that then we can go into the next quarter with renewed energy, toughness, if you will, and we go through our quarters. Now, can you have five quarters? Yes. Can you have two quarters? Yeah. Can you have a first half and second half? Yeah. Can you have three periods? Absolutely. The goal of the four quarters is not to keep you from being creative. The goal of the four quarters is to make it as game-like as possible, give you an opportunity for a halftime, make parallels to the game, right? We're going into the fourth quarter, and in the fourth quarter, remember, we need to get as many shots as we can in a given period of time. Let's go. So it gives you a moment to refocus yourself and try to go win the quarter. So that's the four-quarter practice plan. Mark, let's go ahead and go into it. Pre-practice. What do you have in your team doing pre-practice in order to improve their shooting, defensive pressure, and toughness?
I would start with tune. So tune shooting, they're going to have an individual tune that they're going to work on to start to develop their shot or to continue to develop their shot.
Yep. And if you want more tune advice, you can check out the link in the description. We have some tune train test breakdowns to define even more what tune-ups are. Or you can go to our 5 youth shooting videos for kids. Youth shooting for kids, redundant. But you can go to our 5 youth shooting videos, which are all tune-ups, pianos. They're little things that help tune up our power generation, our shot line, our feel for the ball, our target acquisition, our footwork. Do you want more pre-practice, Mark?
I would go, that would be it. I would want my team to come in, tune their shot, and then we may have like another vitamin in there or something that would translate.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you wanted a vitamin on like pressure defense, I might do something just around stance, honestly. You know, Gino Auriemma would spend a significant amount of time early in his season, especially just having players get very comfortable in an uncomfortably low stance. So pre-practice, I just might have them do something like we do stance shooting sometimes where a player is moving from elbow to elbow in a slow, uncomfortably low defensive stance. And when they get back to the elbow they started at, they get to catch and shoot. Then they go into their slow slide again. And the goal is just like, okay, let's develop the strength and the feel of what it means to sit in a stance. And the shots will reward in a moment to just like loosen up your body a little bit.
Yeah. All right, here's a pre-practice that I would do as well. You tell me if this would be better as a prime. Here's what I would do for my pre-practice. One of my pet peeves whenever we're trapping is players not sprinting out of a trap. So let's say we finish our tune. Hey, get in groups of four. So if, you know, two groups finish, y'all group up. Let's get y'all in a trap where we're in a good stance. We're showing the ref our hands, no fouls, no split. And then once the pass once the ball is passed out of the trap, we turn, we sprint, we go touch the ball, and then we all rotate. Just so we're in coding, all right, here's what a good trap looks like, and then here's what good recovery looks like out of the trap.
Okay, your question actually, I think, illuminates a really valuable point on how I at least would differentiate between a pre-practice and a prime. If you've done it before and players are familiar with the organization and the teaching points of any given exercise, drill, or game, I think you can throw it into pre-practice, because the intent of pre-practice is it doesn't require teaching or even coach oversight. But if you have not yet taught sprinting in and out of the trap, if you haven't taught them the organization, then it would be a prime. Whereas we have to teach this from scratch and prime this unknown thing. So at least for me, that delineates between what we can put into our pre-practice versus what needs to be primed. And really, I think the goal of nearly everything that we prime is that it becomes familiar and learned, so that we could pull anything we've previously primed and throw it into pre-practice, because our players know it and they can execute it.
Yeah. A few benefits of like four quarter practice plan. You went over some. The ones that like really helps me is do less at practice, right? So like you're not going to over plan practice, but also what you just said is, you know, you're doing your teaching, your prime early in practice. That's another thing. It gives you a structure to where you're not installing too many things, and you're not doing it later in practice when everybody's a little physically, mentally fatigued. It's like when there's something new, that is our prime, that's our teaching time, and then we create that through line throughout the four quarters.
And I'll even say, it's like, oh, but when do we put in our baseline out of bounds plays? Prime.
Yeah.
And then you might play a locked blob 5-on-5 game where every possession starts with a baseline out of bounds, right? And so that would be the through line that Mark's referencing.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go pre-practice. We're doing some tune shooting prime. Let's assume that we're going to do that trap drill. So you're pre-practice tune shooting. We'll do your stance as well there, your defensive stance, getting uncomfortable in an uncomfortable stance. And then my prime would be, let's teach what a good trap looks like and what good recovery looks like out of the trap with that 4 or 5 player drill.
Nice. I would probably add in a prime that addressed toughness as well. If this is going to be a thing that we're emphasizing, I want to prime them feeling doing really hard things, giving maximum effort, and raise the standard of toughness. You know, so what would be an example of that? I mean, you've probably all done some sort of like a jungle rebounding drill or whatnot. So I'd probably go like tough 1-on-1. And tough 1-on-1 puts a defender in 3 consecutive 1-on-1 situations, a loose ball situation, a disadvantage close-off situation, and then a no-dribble post-up situation, right? And they have to get 3 stops in a row before they can move off. So I think that could be something. There's many things that can just like prime toughness so that we can frame it for them, and then hopefully it transfers to a more physical, tough, defensive mindset throughout the entire four quarters of our games.
Whether you're a first-time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here. And if there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I and our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode. All right, quarter one, what's speaking to me right now is to play a game called 3-on-4 keep away. 3 offensive players against 4 defenders, 30 seconds on the shot clock. Your job is to get a 9 or a 7 or keep the ball away from the defense for 30 seconds, whatever happens first. So offense is going to have to be tough with the ball. They're going to have to attack space, create space, move to give their teammates open passes because they're at a disadvantage. They're -1 player. Offense has 3, defense has 4. So defense, you are working on those traps, your recovery out of the traps, and try not to give up a 9 or 7. Obviously, I would even put a big priority on getting steals or deflections for defense. And so offense is going to have to apply all the skills and principles that we would play against pressure.
Like it. Do you want to do Q2 or do you want me to throw a Q2?
You go Q2 here.
Okay, then I would flow right into 4v4 passing out of a trap. So we would equalize the offense and defense, but here's the rules and the constraints. And they're just doing this in space. Is the ball must always be trapped and the offense cannot pass until they've held the ball in a trap for 5 full seconds. So this is going to work on our toughness, right? Because it's going to be very physical and you have to hold it longer than you probably would in a real game. And it's also going to work on our pressure defense, where now the emphasis is when the pass comes out of a trap, there's 2 defenders attempting to anticipate and hunt passes against 3 offensive players. So there should always be an open offensive player, but the defense has to try to anticipate. Defense does not come off defense until they steal a pass. So we're working on toughness. We're also working on our hunting of the pass out of the trap now. As the offense is not allowed to dribble, they must hold it for 5 seconds before they can pass.
Yeah, I might even flip. If we were in a staff meeting right now, I would say, "Ooh, coach, what about flipping? Yeah, Q1 and Q2, because my quarter one is probably a little tougher than your quarter two because we're at a disadvantage, and we're going to apply all those things in the keep away game that we did in your 4-on-4 trap game.
I like that. Yeah, what's Q3? What are we doing next?
Q3 is we're going to play. Ooh, I might steal Q4 from you here. Q3 is going to be 5-on-5 and 1. So we are going to play 5-on-5, but every single basket counts as an and one opportunity, which puts us at the free throw line, which gives us the opportunity to set up our press, and offense has to set up their press attack. And then I might add some constraints in there about, a turnover is, ends the game, or a turnover for a 9 ends the game. That would be like maybe if I have to dial up the pressure if defense wouldn't be aggressive enough. But yeah, 5-on-5 and 1, a lot of press break opportunities where we can apply Q1, Q2, and Q3.
Nice. Okay, Q4, the thing that we haven't really hit much on yet in our games is the shooting emphasis. So for Q4, we're actually going to start to focus back on the shooting. And so I think for Q4, what I would do is I would probably go streak shooting on Q4, streak shooting. And streak shooting is basically just a combination of shooting and game. And so we're just going to go 2 teams of 5. Let's go 2 teams of 5 here on one end of the floor, right? Whichever team can make 3 shots in a row first, one player gets to keep shooting as long as they make it. So add some pressure, right? Mark makes 2 misses. I get to shoot, right? So we're going to 3. Whichever team has an individual makes 3 in a row first is on offense going the other direction. Whichever team doesn't is on defense going the other direction. And the defense is always in our all-out pressure and trap. We go one trip, not until someone makes it, 1 trip. If you score, great, add it to your total. If not, we're streak shooting on the other end. So it's just going to incorporate some pressure shooting, getting lots of shots up, flowing into the other things that we're already trying to do, requiring communication, effort, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought us back to shooting because I was so dialed in on pressure and toughness. Here's something else that you could do for shooting in Q4. Could be earlier too. We could always adjust the order of these. But something that I've just called crack back and skip back shooting. So when we drive and we stride stop, let's say we're at the block, we pivot, we look for in the taillights of the drive behind us. That'd be the crack back. If they're open, we hit, they shoot. If they're not open, we pivot again and find the skip back. So we're skipping to the weak side of the floor. I would have a guided defender taking one of those players away, and then we reshape the floor. Everybody gets a shot. And why would I choose that is because when you're playing against pressure, there's going to be a lot of times where you're going to have to dribble, stop, and pivot out of pressure and find open players reading the defense. So that'd be a way where you can incorporate all the skills that you would need to attack pressure, and you're ending with shots. So we're just incorporating shooting into the pressure part too.
Which is really good, especially if you were allowed to work on offense. No, I'm just kidding. That's allowed. Yeah.
I'd say that's skill. And we didn't finish, so there's no layups or finishing in there.
No, I agree. No, that's good. That's a good practice plan. And like a good practice plan, I think this will be my final point for coaches. A good practice plan is not one that's neat and tidy, or one that includes a lot of good drills, or is not one that you thought a lot about necessarily. A good practice plan addresses the things that your team needs right now. A bad practice plan, like a good practice plan for Mark's team, might not be a good practice plan for my team. So I think that the biggest reminder I just want to give coaches here is, like, coach your team. Don't just throw something in there because it looks cool, because somebody else is doing it, because you saw it at a coaching clinic. It does require thought, but it requires the right thought. The thought about, what does my team need right now? And I don't want to distract them with too many things.
Yeah. If you've ever left practice thinking, God, did we get any better today? You probably tried to get better at too many things. So yeah. If that's you, if that's been you, try the 4-quarter practice plan. Something that we use in our Savvy Basketball. We got plenty of examples in our Savvy Basketball community. So if you're not in there, check out 7-day free trial. Thanks for visiting with us on 4-quarter practice plan. We'll see you next week.
Stay safe.
Thanks for making it to the end of the hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.